Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in a warm Detroit Economic Club welcome.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you, Dr. Wilson, for joining us today. And let's start with a big congratulations. Wayne State will be 150 years old this year. That's really special. And I didn't realize this, I should have, but August 1st. So August 1st is a special day for me. That was my dad's birthday. Yeah. So it was really, he was a lifelong Detroiter, so I think it's it was really good luck that you started here in Detroit on the 1st of an August. So, and thank you again for being with us today. 150 years by standards here is a long time, right? In other parts of the world, it's really just like a drop in the bucket. But share with us what you think has given Wayne State University the ability to stay relevant, to grow, to have an impact, and then what you think is different about Wayne State, and then to me the most important is what do you think is still the same? So staying power, okay. Yeah. Different, the same.
Thank you. First of all, let me make two comments. First, thanks, Steve. I was feeling pretty comfortable until you told me who the other 14 people were on this day. Put a lot of pressure on me here, and then secondly, Cindy, thank you for doing this. When I was first told that this was the format they wanted initially, there was a lot of consideration given to having like a news anchor or somebody else, and I said, you know, now we need to get somebody like Cindy Paskey, who, first of all, I'm a fan of Cindy Paskey, but also somebody who's really of the city, who's really a part of it. Who's so much of what's going on in Detroit is because of people like Cindy, and I just felt that it was important that instead of a news anchor that we have somebody like you.
Thank you.
So thank you very much
for
doing this.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So to answer your question, yes. First of all, I learned a new term this year, sesquicentennial. That means 150. Anniversary.
It was in here and I wasn't even going to try to pronounce it.
But you know, I think that part of the staying power of Wayne State has been that its mission is endured. It really hasn't changed. It's always been a place where access and opportunity for residents of Detroit was a very important part of it. Through the evolution of 150 years, that's still a very important part of what we do. Obviously, a lot has happened over the 150 years, and you ask what's different. You know, one of the things that's different is just the scale. We started 150 years ago as basically a small medical college, DMC, Detroit Medical College, as opposed to the DMC that we currently think about now, Detroit Medical Center. But now we have 13 colleges and schools throughout all the different kinds of fields that you have in universities. Our research expenditures are close to approaching $250 million. The scale is just very different. But what has endured is our commitment to the community, our mission, and I think that's why it has so much staying power.
I would agree. And, you know, we had the opportunity to have a golf cart tour around the campus, and I know our great tour guide, Cedric, is here. And it was so encouraging to see that mix of buildings that have been part of Wayne State for so many years, and then new buildings in the new student center and new green space, and students everywhere, right? The walking campus that merges right into what we're working on so hard every day to have a walkable city.
Right.
It was very special. You know, that when you think about our roles, we have an opportunity to do something for a period of time where we engage. And, you know, we're fortunate you've been here in Detroit for 5 years with Wayne State. And I know you have a vision for what you want to accomplish and help students and faculty accomplish while you're here. Share that vision with us.
So the vision is very simple, and it is to be the preeminent public urban research university in this country. Now, that is a lot. There are a lot of good urban universities. But you know, most universities fall into one of two categories. You're either a very high research university like we are, but also very elite, in which you know you are very selective in the students that you take in. Basically have to have a 4.0 average and score perfectly on your ACT or SAT, or you're a university of access and opportunity, and you're not a research institution, and you don't aspire to do some of the same things that big elite institutions do. And I really believe that you can be both, and Wayne State is both. On the one hand, it is a university that still prides itself on the opportunities that it provides for the citizens of Detroit and the southeastern Michigan region. But on the other hand, you know, it is a national university with national and global aspirations and has impact nationally and globally. And I do believe that you can be both. It's not an either or. And the kind of impact that Wayne State has is both local and global. It's part of our mission statement. And so the vision is to be the model nationally for bringing the two seemingly polar characteristics together.
And it's an amazing vision. And I think you know, Wayne State proves and your leadership continues to prove that you can do both. And don't you think in some ways, I don't think the right word is better, but when you combine those two entities, the type of thought that's now available to research and the way to look at ideas, I think don't you think in some ways that gives the ability to do the research you do an edge?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. In fact, you know, one of the strengths before this, just spent some time with the students and they asked some very, very perceptive questions. And one of the questions was, you know, well, what I think is one of the strengths of Wayne State. And certainly it is that we are a very diverse university with a lot of different viewpoints, not only racially and ethnically, but also socioeconomically. Also in terms of just ability, you know, we have students who can go anywhere in the country and they come to Wayne State. And we also have students who, you know, came up through the Detroit public school system and may have some remedial skills that they need to acquire. So we have a range, but you can learn to be in an environment where everybody of all this different diversity of all types are learning together is when you know you really have these clashes of ideas that comes
right.
out to be some brilliant things come out of it.
That's right. It's you wish you could take that approach, and we know you've proven it works here and have it really everywhere in the United States right now, right?
Yeah.
So that when you say the word clash, it's because you're creating great ideas as a result of that. That ultimately will impact lives. You've had some, you know, I always look at the world in two ways. There's like the vision and where you're going forward, and then there's the tactical. Since you've been here, what have you changed in your tenure, and then what are you still working on to change, both from a tactical and then things that you know you can start and it will carry on over generations?
So before I came, I did what anybody would do. I Googled Wayne State and read a bunch of things about it. And it's amazing what you can find out. But you know, I started reading all these complaints from students about the student services and that they didn't feel well served. And I think the thing that I feel has been the greatest change. And there's still some work to be done, But I think we're much more student-focused and student-centered now. And we really care about putting the students first and having a, I hate using this word, but you know, having a customer orientation to making sure that their concerns are addressed first and foremost, and every student, you know, the you know, not just you know, groups of students or whatever, but every student. I have an email address that students contact me personally on, and I make sure that whenever there's an issue, that it gets taken care of. So that focus on the student, I think, is the main thing over the past 5 years. In terms of you know, what still needs to happen, you know, these things are an evolution. I think that you know, in 5 years, you don't just all of a sudden just change what's been going on over the past 145 years and just kind of you know, turn on a dime. I think that it is an evolution, and that faculty are beginning to take responsibility not only for the teaching that they do, but taking personal responsibility for the success of the students. So, and that takes much more than just teaching in the classroom. Right. You know, it's, you know, how do you schedule your classes so that it's convenient for the students, and not just on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but maybe, you know, some Mondays and even maybe some Fridays, right? Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of considerations that puts the students first. It's still an evolution.
Yep, it absolutely is. So talking about putting the students first, share with everyone that might not be familiar the program, the mentorship program that you have for incoming freshmen. And you talked to the students. This will be a repeat for some of the students that were there, but the success that you've had with that program.
So, I mean, certainly, you know, we have a lot of different programs, but I think the one that that you're talking about is the Warrior VIP program. And it's a program where it's students at risk who, particularly minority students, and I think they're mainly African-American males. Is that right, Cedric? Yes, they're mainly African-American males. In fact, they're African-American males because that's the most at-risk group right now. And we have students like Cedric and others who mentor them. And just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, my person that's involved with in charge of student success on our campus came to me, and she was just so excited because that group, their retention rate from first to second year was higher than the entire student body. And so that means that you know that this program that the students themselves, the current students themselves, are involved in, is doing something to be able to have that kind of success so early that they're actually doing better than the rest of the students, and they're the most at-risk students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you and all of the mentors should be congratulated for that. That's life changing, and that's generation changing.
Well, we have some phenomenal students, and you know, I know we called out Cedric, but you know, there's a whole group of students over there who, from Wayne State. When I went to the student section earlier, you know, I started seeing. I was expecting all high school students. So I said, "Wait a minute! I know you." So I appreciate all the students coming out today. Thank you.
That's great. So, speaking of students, you also have some students that are coming back, and you put some parameters around that, and I think that's really, really important, right?
Yeah, the Warrior Way Back program.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, it turns out that there are tens of thousands of former students in the Southeast Michigan area, and thousands of them from just Wayne State alone, who went to school, for whatever reason, dropped out, did not get a degree, and they owe some money. And because, and this is not something that Wayne State does alone, this, you know, all universities mm-hmm. do this, when you have monies that you owe, you can't get your transcript, you can't show what, you know, how much classes you've taken already. When you go to an employer and you say, well, you know, I was just 10 credits away, here's what, you can't even get your transcript. So it's a double whammo, right? And so we started a program just this past year. It was we wanted to just do a pilot for 50 students of allowing students who owe money and did not graduate and can't get back in because they just can't pay whatever they owe, an opportunity to come back to school and work their way out of their debt. So just as an example, let's say you owe $1,500. Now, to many of us, $1,500 isn't that much money, and you should be able to feel like you should be able to pay it at some point. But you know, for a lot of students, that's a lot of money, and it's hard to just get that money to be able to pay to a university and get back into school. And so we bring them in, and after, let's say, the first semester of successfully completing, you know, we'll take a third of that debt off, right? And then, so you owe $1,000. And then you stay another semester, you get another third of your debt off. And then another semester, you get your entire debt cleared up, and you walk out with a degree. It's just a win-win.
It is absolutely a win-win. That's absolutely.
And I should say, you know, because it's a pilot, we only wanted to do, and it costs us some funds to do mm-hmm. that, obviously. We only wanted to do 50 students. And because there were so many students who were eligible and who applied, and because it was so hard to turn people away, because they all have compelling stories, this pilot has 68 students.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, well, kudos to you. It's like helping to remove the barriers, right? Yeah. Somebody's ready to change their station in life, and you find a way to remove the barriers, and then they'll pay that forward. So speaking of students, another win-win is what was the freshman class this year? It was a pretty significant number.
Yeah, so it was the largest full-time freshman class in the history of Wayne State. And then it was the largest, so I said full-time on that one.
Right.
But it was the largest freshman class of not just full-time, but part-time also since 2007. And the reason why that's important is that, you know, in 2007 we took a lot of students in, but you know a lot of students were not very well prepared, and we were just picking them up from everywhere, and they would come to Wayne State, but then they wouldn't stay very long. This year's freshman class has got a GPA of 3.4. You know, plus is, you know, as large as it is. So mm-hmm. even though it's not as large as the 2007 class, it's a much better prepared class, and these students are going to graduate.
Right, they are going to graduate, and they have it's in some ways it's a much better prepared university for them as well.
Yeah.
Right, the whole focus on the student first.
Right.
Then they come in better prepared, but they're in an environment that makes them number one. And so you're right. I believe they are going to graduate.
Yeah.
You should vote. Absolutely. So all of this requires funds, right? And I understand that the fundraising drive, Pitiful Moments. Yeah. Why was it called that? How was the campaign done? I understand it was a success.
So it was a $750 million campaign over the past 4 years, which we did complete early. but you know, when I first came, it's 5 years ago now, we hadn't started the campaign yet, and they were still talking about, you know, what to name the campaign. And I think it was going to be something like This Way Forward or something. And it didn't move me at all. And you have to name it something that actually moves you. And at the time, I was reading a book about Wayne State. It was called Something in the Light, A Place of Light, yeah. And it was a book about the beginning of Wayne State to 1968. And the thing I remember about that as I was reading this is that there were certain pivotal moments in the history of Wayne State that really, it could have gone one way or the other, okay? But it went the way it did, and that was a pivotal moment in the history of Wayne State. An example would be decision to stay in Detroit rather than leave Detroit, like some other universities did. Another one would be becoming a state university, change from Wayne University to Wayne State University. And at the same time, by this time, I was meeting alumni from all over the country in the pre-campaign stage. And as I would talk to them, they would all have these stories about certain things that they remembered about their experience at Wayne State that was an important moment for them. And a lot of it was, you know, they met their spouse at, the, you know, at Old Main and got their first kiss or something at Old Main, you know, something that was really important to them that they remembered. And I started thinking, well, you know, these are pivotal moments in their lives in the same way that we've had pivotal moments in the history of Wayne State. And I thought that if we named it that, that's something that, you know, I can just go out and build a story around. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you do something like this, you have to be genuine. You have to really feel it.
Right.
And if you're not comfortable, it's going to show.
Right.
And so pivotal moments just kind of grabbed me and said, you know, this is something that I can really sell.
Right.
That this is something that I could really feel that's really important.
Well, and congratulations, because it was successful. And I think. When you're asking someone for support, no matter what the type of support is, when they know that you believe in the mission and you believe in the cause, they find a way to say yes.
And their support will cause other pivotal moments.
Exactly.
And the students that they're supporting.
That's right. That's right. And to me it's like the perfect tie. All of the moments that could be brought together over 150 years and mm-hmm. all of the lives that were touched and changed, and then to your point, it goes forward and changes other lives. And, you know, one of those moments was the largest gift, which was the $40 million gift from the Illich family to establish the Mike Illich School of Business. So congratulations.
Thank you.
The school is over. We all get to see, most of us get to see it on a regular basis because it has a beautiful spot on Woodward that we go by. What are your thoughts about the facility, and what are your expectations of what it will bring to both the city and to Wayne State?
So first of all, there's no question the building itself is a beautiful building, but it took a lot of thought, and I remember some of the early designs, and Chris Illich and I, we really came to the exact same point in terms of what we were looking for in a building. And that is one that was inviting and not sitting on a pedestal, but one mm-hmm. that, you know, was inviting to the community. And so having all that glass mm-hmm. where you can kind of see, being on street level has mm-hmm. that inviting, feel to it. But, you know, even though the building is great, to me, one of the most exciting aspects of this was the ability to build a curriculum that is responsive to what the businesses downtown were looking for in the business graduates. And specifically, for example, we have sports and entertainment management kind of curriculum
right.
that feeds into the whole Illich mm-hmm. business model, right? And that's what they need. And so we're able to, with their input, have a curriculum that is responsive to that need. And I think that higher education in general, you know, there was just some data out just today. I read it actually, some federal data that show that support for higher ed has been declining, and part of that I think is because, you know, we sit in this on these pedestals and we're not being responsive to what the community is asking for, and what the students themselves are asking for. which is they want to get a job.
Right, they want to get a job.
Right, and so you have to, in some way, you know, give the faculty the ability to do their curriculum. It's their curriculum, but at the same time, get input from businesses in terms of what output they're looking for,
right.
And somehow incorporate it in a way that you don't decrease the academic component of it, but you're responsive to what the students want and what businesses want,
right.
That's to me is one of the most exciting parts of this. We wanted a school, the building to be right at the edge of downtown, to be able to interact
right.
with the businesses mm-hmm. there more.
And that's so important,
yeah.
right? I mean, you know, we're very fortunate. Dr. Wilson sits on the mayor's workforce board, and you know, so much of what we're talking about is having people prepared for jobs of all types.
Right.
And there's so much value in having his voice look at the other business leaders there to say that there is recognition that we know we need to be able to have students prepared for the jobs that are there and understand what those jobs need. And then, I think also something that's really special about that is that you've been able to engage the Detroit Police Department's Leadership Academy, right?
Yeah.
And could you talk about that a little bit, share what
yeah.
that is?
You know, I think that's a great example of what can be accomplished when you have groups working together. And, you know, part of that partnership is with Deloitte, and I see Mark Davidoff
mm-hmm.
there, and they're doing a lot of the actual management teaching. And so what this is a partnership that allows both Detroit and Wayne State. We, out of the first cohort of 22 police officers, I think three were from Wayne State and 19 mm-hmm. were from was from Detroit, to give them training and leadership over, I think it's 6 graduate courses that they take, and they're halfway to getting an MBA. And you know, we do it at a cost that we actually don't make any money from it. We just do it because it's the right thing to do. But they're able to, you know, take these leadership courses, be better prepared to do the jobs that they do,
mm-hmm.
and they're halfway to getting a formal MBA if they should continue with that. And the first cohort, I think, graduated in June,
yes.
as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great program. So thank you.
You
very much, Mark,
yeah,
for
thank you.
Deloitte's involvement with that.
Yeah, it is. It's an exceptional program. Well, we're not going to get through all of my questions, you'll be happy to know. you know, when you look at your background and your career, you could really choose to be anywhere. And you chose to come here, and you engage in the city. Share with me, start on the things that you would like to see improved with Detroit, and then share the things that you were pleasantly surprised about with Detroit, the city that you've intentionally chosen to live in.
Yeah. Well, let's do it in the opposite
okay.
order. The things that that I find very attractive about Detroit that I wasn't really quite expecting is, you know, it has this underdog mentality, but one of, you know, we're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the spirit, I think, of the whole warrior strong,
mm-hmm.
Model that we have also. It's showing a resilience, a perseverance, a strength, that despite whatever adversity, that you can prevail and be successful. And that's kind of the spirit that I see in Detroit, which I think is very attractive. I've always been a proponent of the underdog
mm-hmm.
and
you
so
have,
forth, so
yes.
I still, you know, that's part of, just appeals to my own personality. In terms of what can be improved, I'm a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is probably the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is the roads. Third thing is the roads.
Okay. Got it. Well, last question, Anna, is tell us, share with us something that the audience wouldn't know about you.
Ah, okay. Let me see. Okay. All right. So, when I was a kid, I skipped school a lot. I was a pretty bad kid, actually. And I skipped school a lot. I didn't like school. So I failed the first grade.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I know you're going to have some audience questions. They're all going to be hard to follow. And it was really an honor to interview you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much. But you passed kindergarten, though, right?
I passed kindergarten.
The questions are flooding in, Dr. Wilson. You are quite the popular guy, especially from our students. So let's start with a couple student questions. And the one thing that students want to know most is why you removed the math requirement. I think they're happy about this. Can you tell me a little about
this? Yeah, you know, first, that is actually a misconception. So about 3 years ago now, we were trying to change the curriculum. The curriculum hadn't been changed in 30 years. And from the minute that I came here, I wanted to change the curriculum because it's old, and we had requirements in there that was not incenting student success. For example, the general education curriculum is typically, in most universities, like maybe 32 credits of gen ed, okay? Ours was like 44 or 46. Even if you did everything right, it would have been very hard to pass and get your degree in 4 years just because of the sheer number of general education requirements that were necessary. And if some of you may find this as a surprise, but you know, sometimes faculty don't like to change. and it was hard getting them to change the curriculum. And one of the things that really needed to change was math. Yeah, you could either take a certain math course or you can test out by taking a test. And this is the honest to God truth. I took that test and failed. Mm-hmm. It was just ridiculous. And so we were keeping students from passing and getting their degrees because we just didn't want to change the way we did things. And so what we did is we put it on hold, the math requirement, pending a complete revision of not only the math requirements, but the entire curriculum. And so, for example, you know, we have people in, let's say, dancers who or theater majors. They probably don't need calculus, you know. I went into medicine and I didn't need calculus.
Right.
So we needed to change. And so what we did is we put it on hiatus. But part of the other part of the discussion that was going on at the time was, you know, what are the kind of components that we were going to add into the curriculum? And one was, among many others, was a diversity component. It could be global or it can be local. And some of the conservative news outlets conflated it to, you know, Wayne State dropped their math, but you have to take diversity. And it wasn't that way at all. So 3 years later, we were able to get the curriculum changed. So now it's not quite 32, it's 34 credit hours now in general education. And the math curriculum has been totally revamped. So, you know, it's if you're a dancer or something, you have to still take math, but it's quantitative reasoning. It's a kind of math that is relevant to what you do as opposed to something rigid that, you know, is arbitrary.
Okay, good. Good clarification. So students' math is still important. you know, a lot of questions from students regarding your passion for medicine and your background and how you use that passion and that prior experience in your life as a president?
Well, gee, I'm not sure how to answer that one. You know, I think that even when I was in medicine and was seeing patients and was dean of a medical school and so forth, the thing that I enjoyed the most is interaction with students, the whole teaching environment, and just academics. I just love academics. And so whether it's on the medical school side or on the at a general university side, it's still pretty much the same. I'll tell you one story. I did tell the students this earlier. When my son was a little kid, he admonished me one time because at the time I was dean of a medical school, and he remembered me when I was taking care of individual patients and doing surgery on their eyes and stuff. And he said, "Dad, you know, you used to fix people's eyes, and now all you do is sit behind a desk and push paper. You know, and, you know, why don't you help people like you used to?" And I had to explain to him that I'm still helping people. It's just on a different scale, and it's different. Instead of the individual patient, it's, you know, whole groups of students through policy and all that kind of stuff. So my point is that whether it's on the medicine side or it's on a more general university side, the issues are still the same in terms of the learning environment and the impact on students.
Rents around Midtown Detroit are going up,
yeah,
which is a good thing. But unfortunately, it becomes more expensive for students to live near or on Wayne State's campus. What is the university doing to help students afford to live right there on campus?
Yeah, so we did a housing study about 3 years ago now, and it predicted that student demand for housing was going to be high. So we decided that we were going to build more housing on our campus, and the Anthony Wayne Apartments has just opened up this past August. Beautiful apartments, but that's only phase one. And so phase two of the Anthony Wayne Apartments will open up, you know, next August, and it's adding much more housing stock to our currently available housing so that students who want to live on campus are able to do so. Last 2 years ago, before we opened this up, we were having so many students want to live on campus, and as you said, the rents were going up, and so they couldn't afford it. And we had to house them actually at the St. Regis Hotel. You know, it's hard getting students out of hotels when they're getting room service and getting their rooms made up and everything. And so we said, "No, we're going to have to build some."
So, Dr. Wilson, you are an avid cyclist. And this question actually comes from your wife, Jacqueline. She'd like to know how that all started. How did that passion begin?
So when I was in my mid-30s, this is after I finished all my medical training and all that, I started racing. And I was decent, but I realized that all the people I was racing against were, first of all, they were 10 years younger. At least 10 years younger. And secondly, they didn't have jobs and they were training all day. And here I was a physician at that time, I was a faculty member. And so I said, "Well, you know, I just, maybe I over the long term, I'm not gonna be able to compete at a high enough level." So I was playing basketball and doing other things. And I was playing basketball at a pretty high level. And I ruptured my Achilles tendon when I was in my 40s, my early 40s. Luckily, I was playing against a medical school team. And I didn't know what happened. I just heard a pop, and I just fell down. And I had no idea what was going on. But the medical students, they knew. And they, you know, iced me down and everything, and got me to the emergency room and so forth. But it took me a year to rehabilitate. And I remember thinking, you know, I've got two Achilles tendons. maybe basketball isn't the right thing for me. So I took up cycling again.
Okay.
After my Achilles tendon tear. And you know, cycling is something that you can do, you know, well into your older ages. And this past year, I don't typically say things like this, but since it's about cycling, you know, we had the Borrador, which is our cycling event, and I did the 100 miles in 4 hours and 30 some minutes, which I'm 65 years old, and that was the fastest time since my racing days.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, cycling is something that that you can do, you know, well into your 60s and, you know, hopefully into my 70s.
So now your wife knows the rest.
Sorry.
Are you ready for our lightning round?
Yeah, sure.
Ready? Okay. Something on your bucket list.
Cycle one of the mountain stages of the Tour de France.
Person you would like to have lunch with?
Nelson Mandela.
One of your favorite songs?
Because We Believe by Andrea Bocelli.
Favorite team growing up?
Didn't have a favorite team, but it's sports related. It's a sumo wrestler. His name was Taiho, which is, he's a Yokozuna. Yokozuna is a grand champion in sumo. And he was grand champion for 10 years throughout my childhood. 33 grand matches that he won until his retirement in 1971.
Your best sport?
Well, my dad would say it was baseball. I would say it was basketball. Objectively, it was probably soccer.
Not basketball. Last book you read?
It was a biography about Robert Lowell, the great American poet, written by K. Redfield Jameson.
Favorite vacation spot?
St. Lucia. No, hands down.
Boy, you didn't have to think about that. Favorite movie?
Seven Samurai. This is a 1954 film by Akira Kurosawa that the Magnificent Seven was after that, but it was based on the Seven Samurai. And most of you have heard of the Magnificent Seven. But The Seven Samurai is a classic film, it's probably my favorite.
Okay. In one word, describe Detroit.
Gritty. In a positive way.
In a positive way. Advice to your 25-year-old self, which shouldn't be hard. That was just a couple years ago. Yeah.
Don't drink too much beer.
Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, good job.
President Wilson, I think you held your own as our 15th speaker. Thank you so much for everything. Cindy Paskey, thanks for all you do for Detroit and the DEC and for a great job moderating. Peter, thank you, outstanding job as presiding officer. I want to say a quick thank you to Kobo for hosting us today, and I want to say thank you to all of you. This meeting is adjourned.